Spar tid og penge med Mambino-appen. Hver uge får du nemme og lækre madplaner, lavet med de aktuelle tilbud i Rema 1000. Så kan du altid købe ind til 5 gange aftensmad til 4 for under 500 kroner, eksklusiv basisvarer. Prøv gratis i 30 dage og se, hvor meget du kan spare på mambino.dk. Madplan Mambino.
Just after this test. Is that good enough?
That's going to make this a long hour for me and Jaime, right?
Jaime, yes.
Jaime. Gotcha.
No, stress on the first syllable.
Jaime.
Yes.
There we go. I do... I did an open mic last night and I completely butchered a young open micer's name.
Oh, don't worry. I was at a comedy show, at an online comedy show, where I was cheering on my friend. Three different comedians like picked up on me when they were doing crowd work, and all three of them said Jamie. And I was like, okay, fine. And my friend, as soon as he came off the call, was like, I am so sorry they mispronounce your name every time.
Well, my girlfriend's name is Yasmin. But she has had, like, most of her life, she's had people call her Jasmine, mm-hmm. which is the one from Aladdin, of course.
Yes.
And if I have to be completely honest, I'm glad to be dating Yasmin and not Jasmine. I know Jasmine is really hot, but she just seems a little, you know, two-dimensional. Boom! And with that, very welcome to Never AFK, a podcast about gaming. Once again, with extraordinarily nice company here in our online studio. Very, very welcome, Jaime March.
Jaime. Monedero March.
Monedero March. And once again, Morten Brunbjerg.
Hello again.
Morten Brunbjerg. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to speak about a new game on a new platform, actually. By Bolwerk Games that we have featured before on this show. And today we are going to be discussing Voice Attorney from the Google Nest Hub?
It's the Google Nest Hub, yes. And the Google Nest Hub Max, where it works better.
So it's like the Google Alexa?
Yes, pretty much. It's the Google Smart Speaker assistant display thing. It's like Alexa, but with a screen.
Gotcha. So where do we start? I mean, Jaime, you have been the project leader, can we say?
Yeah, so I've been the... baby. Yeah, pretty much. I've been the game director and the project manager, as well as the lead designer and most other things. it was a small team. We had two people in art. We had the programmer, our audio designer and composer, and then Morten on writing. Pretty much everything else, it was me.
And before we get started about your jobs, can we just give a shout out to the rest of the team? Of course, the listeners don't know this. I visited your office last week.
Yes.
And met the crew and tried the game. So I've actually had like 8 or 10 minutes experience with this. So before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to the crew. especially we spoke to Mark. It was Mark, right?
Mark, yes.
Mark, yeah. Because when you said the programmer, you meant the programmer. As in one programmer. You didn't mean the programming department that had outsourced the thing. No, one guy did the entire fucking...
Yeah, that's right. It's been a trip.
Yeah. So, massive shout-outs to the team. I don't even know where to start to unpack this, because there's so many things I want to talk about. I guess the main So we'll get into the gameplay and we'll do all these things. But to start off with, I don't own Google Nest myself or anything of the like. But this is the first time I have heard about one of these like home platforms being used as a gaming platform. Mm-hmm. Which also means that I myself all of a sudden am the controller.
Yes.
So the whole idea of me needing a keyboard or a keypad or whatever, you know, driving stick. This is even in virtual reality, so-called virtual reality games, you still have a joystick and then you press a button to jump and you... So this is actually the closest thing, I guess, I've heard about or to start off with experience, where there's no limitation of the link between me and the machine. Like there's no medium.
Yes, to an extent. So we aren't the first games to be made for voice assistants. Not even close. There are already a lot of games on the Google Assistant platform, which is where we have released Voice Attorney, and there are also some for like Amazon Alexa and a bunch of others. They tend to be not quite as narrative of an experience as Voice Attorney is. So there are, for example, many like crossword games or Guess the Drawing or charades type game called Mime Jam. So yeah, they tend to be more like casual games, like games that you can pick up and play for a bit and then put down. So
Say this is one of the first ambitiously narrative games.
Yeah,
For the Google Nest platform.
As far as we know, yes, there are some choose your own adventure type games, but we haven't been able to find any that went as deep with it and that, like, you know, voice acted everything and so on. It's been pretty different, I think, for Google.
And for you, I assume.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This was the first time we were doing anything voice controlled.
And like also, and I mentioned this when I was at the office, that must have been a good day at the office when you get a call from Google. Did you call Google or did they call you?
Right. So Bulwark had already done several pitches to Google when they had done calls for pitches for platforms like Google Tango, which was an AR platform that is now defunct, or we had done some pitches for the Google Assistant platform. And this time they came to us saying, hey, we want to push the Google Assistant as a games platform to show that it can be used for that. We have these ideas for what kind of games could be made. Make us a pitch and we'll see if we go for it. And they did go for it. So the idea of making it similar to Ace Attorney, which is a game series from which we take massive inspiration, came from them. It was one of the ideas they floated. And when I heard about this, I went feral. So I went like, yes, I will do that.
And then Morten, just to get you online here, when you got the call?
Yeah, I was out drinking a few beers after a game event, and I was just sitting at a restaurant in Kødbyen talking to a bunch of students, saying something like, "If you want to get jobs in the games industry, show up at events like this because you never know what happens." And then someone taps me on the shoulder, and it's Bo, the CEO of Bulwark, and he says, "Do you want to join us at this project we're doing?" Yeah, and I said, "Of course I want."
And he said that out loud so the students heard it, right?
Exactly, and Yeah, it seemed like something you would stage, right? So, but yeah.
Well,
but I worked with Bolvec before, and so of course I just said yes straight away.
Yeah. Massive shout out to Bo. So just to get the listener a glimpse of what we're talking about, this is it's a narrative driven game, narrative voice controlled game, where you interact with the screen as though you are an attorney.
Yes.
And one of the key I did try this for like 10 minutes, which is the first case, which is a basic tutorial to understand the game mechanisms, you know. And I loved every second of it. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the idea of this. Again, this was my first experience without a controller, and especially that thing where you get to yell "Objection!" And you just because I've never the closest thing I can compare it to is in the Mass Effect series. Where if you go, have you guys played Mass Effect?
I haven't, unfortunately. It's still on my list.
Get cracking! It's amazing. One of the elements of Mass Effect is that you, in a like a Star Wars-y fashion, can choose to go either it's Renegade or Paragon, right? Depending on your actions and your dialogue choices and blah blah blah, you can either be classic good person or classic I'm doing thing my way. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah. And if you go far enough along one path, then sometimes during the game a dialogue option will appear where you have to press a corresponding quickly during the dialogue to do something Paragon-like or do something Renegade-like.
Mm-hmm.
And you unlock these. So that's the closest thing. There's an amazing sequence where you headbutt an alien in the middle of a conversation. <That's>, which finally makes the alien respect you. And then you can play along and cooperate from there. It's an amazing moment. That's the closest thing I've... Because I'm an RPG nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I play all the heavy story-driven, with how many hours I've spent listening to in-game dialogue, I don't remember how... this just feels more interactive somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that was really interesting because I had jumped on the project going, like, I'm going to make... an equivalent of an Ace Attorney game, this is already exciting. And then thinking about it, we realized that it was much more appropriate than we expected because it was... you were being a lawyer controlling... Like, you weren't pressing A for Mario to jump.
Yeah.
You were being a lawyer
yeah.
who do their jobs by talking, and you were controlling that by talking.
And also, it's the first game I've played where... It's the first game I've played where I get to choose the dialogue options.
Yes, exactly.
Completely freely. Every time you've, again, in the role-playing games, you know, you've meet someone with an exclamation mark above their head and they give you a quest... And you want to say, "Are you serious? Rats in the basement! I've got a world to save. There are demons and dragons out there, and you want me to kill fucking rats? Okay, I'll kill your rats." That's what you want to say, because you need the experience, right? but you can only say, "Yeah." So this is the first game I've played where I get to choose from. My entire vocabulary when creating the responses, because of course this thing like there's an AI kind of thingamajig in this thing
mm-hmm.
that learns your voice as the user, and which means, and then of course you guys have which is something we're going to talk a lot more about, is that you have integrated an intricate pattern of dialogue options and software stuff that I don't even know how to describe. But the point is that I can actually speak it, and then this podcast suffers so much that I know jack shit about programming.
Yeah, so basically how that was accomplished, and Morten can talk about what it took to try to account for everything that the player might say, and all of the options we expected them to say, and delivering information in an interesting fashion and so on. But what's at the core of it is really Google's technology.
Mm.
They have this thing called NLU, which stands for Natural Language Understanding, which is basically an AI mm-hmm. that they just have. And what you do is you tell it, okay, so if the player is going to ask for a witness's alibi, what might they say? Mm. Where were you at the time of the murder? Or what were you doing that night? Or was there anybody with you? Or that kind of thing. So you put all of the sentences that you can think of that the user might say that mean give me your alibi into the AI, and it just trains itself. And from then on, and with Google's also like speech to text technology, whenever the user says something that sounds like that, it matches it with that intent, and we just have to deal with, oh, the user asked for the alibi, we're going to direct them to this section or this other section, etc.
Which makes me want to ask Morten. Jaime, you told me that if you completely exhaust if you really like me, if you're like me and you're a completionist, you know, you want mm-hmm. every single side quest and you want the max volume out of a game, there's around 8 hours worth of entertainment so far in West
yes.
Attorney, which
and, yes, around you know, that much.
Around that much. And I'm a writer, so I know that in my world, in a tightly written A4 page is around 5 minutes on stage. So the amount of work in order to create 8 hours, plus having to write, as far as I understand, with what you just said, Jaime, that you also had to write every conceivable way someone could ask for an alibi. You didn't only have to like write the dialogue, someone says, what's your alibi like? And then there's one response, but you had to write every how the fuck did you do that, I guess?
Well, we were 400 people day and night.
And 1 million monkeys, no, 1 million
yes,
typewriters.
Exactly. No, just one monkey, that's me. And then 399 people. No, as Jaime just said, we had a lot of help here because we don't have to write every conceivable answer for this, because with the AI that Google we could use, that Google that's Google's technology really, is that if a player says, "Where were you last night?" We don't have to take into account other than a few keywords of that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jaime. So I basically just have to write one answer to that, and then we will have a few keywords. So what's your alibi? Where were you yesterday? Or where were you last night? Or where were you May 5th at 2000 hours at 8 o'clock? All these things get sort of funneled into one thing, and then we give that answer. The reason it's called Mass Effect is because it's massively expensive to do that branching stuff to the extent that everything branches out all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, and as we started this by discussing this, it was a very little team. We could not do stuff like that.
Mm.
So this is not something that branches out a lot and takes like a million things. There are a lot of things you can say. But also by narrowing it down to a court case and having one question and one topic at a time, it's really like a way to really narrow the player's choices, hopefully without them feeling like that.
Exactly, and that's a common thing. In I've heard other game developers on this show talking about that. Is that you always want to give. It's like if you play Dungeons and Dragons, you have the game master who has prepared an adventure, and of course you want to give your players the illusion of free choice. That of course you're adventurers, you can go everywhere. But I really want you to go where I've spent hours planning what actually happens.
Yeah, you come to a fork in the road. If you go on to the left, you come to this town. If you go to the right, you come to the same town. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
I saw
a Twitter post or something like that that was Game Master says... So you start in a small town where the villagers complain about a dragon attacking the fields to the west. And the first player goes, "Oh, a dragon. Well, I guess we head east then." The dungeon master goes, "Oh, to the east, a giant barren desert wasteland where no one who dares go has ever come back. All right, we'll go south then. Oh, to the south, the impenetrable sea, filled with krakens and said storm weathers, and there are no ships north. And north are unpassable mountains. Okay, we'll go fight your stupid dragon."
Yeah, it's there are levels of subtlety you can do that with.
But that's every game developer's shtick to deal with however you do, right? But I thoroughly enjoyed, with my very, very limited trial of this game, it very quickly dawned on me, like, I could do this in character. Madame says I could be a Russian attorney, or I could be a Jewish attorney. I could dress up at home and wear a hat and... I could be the barbarian attorney, like, "Where you, night of murder, where you at?"
I think that's exactly right, right? Because everyone, like, admitted or not, everyone has thought about that, you know, everyone has run that court case in their heads, right? You want to stand up and yell objection, right?
As I left your office, I really wanted to turn around and go, "Just one more question."
Yes.
Yes.
Columbo. Which is a fun TV series because it starts out telling you who's the murderer.
Oh yeah. It's I've seen it described as instead of a whodunit, a how catch 'em.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
On this whole thing, like, we thought about branching a lot, and we also and it's mainly when you're questioning the witnesses, because you get to just ask them whatever questions you want. We were basically having to try to figure out anything that might be relevant for the player to ask, and anything that leads to information that we want them to have. So maybe Morten can talk a bit more about how he went about that, because he was the one creating the bulk of the text and the pretty much all of the options, really.
How do you start unraveling? Well, of course, but I guess it's since you have the cases, which are like the closed storylines, I guess you just... start at the beginning of number one.
We I think actually didn't we start with episode two or something like that? I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, we started with case one, episode two, so that we could find our stride without having to simultaneously worry about making the tutorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, we of course figure out, all right, so how many episodes do we want to do and how many cases do we want to create for this? And once we knew that, we sort of tried to say, okay, so what we'd really like was to have some cases with closed storylines for each case. So you had to have some sort of wrap up at the end of each case. But we also really wanted some kind of connection between all the cases. And so this took a lot of talking between Jaime mm-hmm. and me. And remember, this is all done last year. And most of it is done remotely. I think I was at the office twice doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult. I was just pacing up and down my home office, having long conversations with Remy, and we were trying to figure out how do we deal with this.
Yeah, and for most of that beginning, I wasn't even in Denmark. I was in Spain for like the first 3 months of 2021.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Then we sort of figure out. Then we write a synopsis on, you know, what's the case going to be like, and how do you solve it, and how is it all connected at the end? So you get sort of this story treat when you finish the whole thing. And is there any way we can, just like you would write a TV series, really? Like, is there any way we can wrap up all the, you know, side characters as well, minor characters at the end as well? So we get a nice little wrap up of everything, hopefully.
Which makes you better than Game of Thrones, hey?
That's nice. For another podcast, I think, isn't it?
Oh, I think that podcast has already been made. I would love to speak about the Game of Thrones game. If anybody knows anybody out there that has also played that, feel free to give me a shout out, because I actually very much enjoyed that.
But I think then we just started writing it one case at a time, and what was really let's call it fun was developing
challenging
the system in which the Nest could understand this whole thing, developing the programming language at the same time as I was writing it, so the syntax would develop. It would start out with something fairly simple that I could test back home here, and then it developed into something else because we realized that, oh, we need this, and we need this functionality, and we need this functionality, until at the end, because everything was remotely done, I was not able to, from my office, to test what I was writing. Mm-hmm. So I was writing more or less blindfolded here. I could not test the transitions from one thing to another, which is really important when you're writing interactively, because you are reusing pieces of dialogue. Okay, so this answer, you can come to this answer from 5, 4, 6 different places, and you need to test that transition. And I couldn't do that unless, you know, I had to go through it all manually. So I was completely reliant on Jaime to test all this stuff and get back and tell me if it was working or not.
Yeah, and we had some back and forth with that. But yeah, it was true that for most of the... Well, really for all of the project, it was very much laying out the tracks in front of the train as the train is passing.
Nice.
Mark, who like was there from beginning to end, he created this entire system where we could parse, basically. How deep do I want to get into this? So there is a format.
We've got the time. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So there is a format called Yarn. Mm-hmm. That was developed for a game called Night in the Woods. It's open source, and it's basically integrating interactive fiction-like writing into games. It's made to be kind of like Twine, if you know what that is, but putting it, like giving it hooks so that it can kind of control how the game goes. Mm-hmm. And that has parsers and things for Unity, for example, but we were creating something completely different. So Mark created a parser that would translate the yarn, which was similar to Twine and more or less easier for Morten to write in, into the kind of syntax that the Google system expected.
Yeah.
And then we figured out that the Google...
He was the translator, I guess?
Yes, pretty much. And then we figured out that the Google that we were kind of outgrowing what the Google system could do. So he then created a separate system in JavaScript to like execute all of that translated stuff that he had parsed.
This is getting beyond my pay level, I was going to say. But
basically, we wrote a translator. We wrote a translator, and then we wrote a thing that could understand the translated thing so that we could actually use it. So obviously with these things, like, we needed a lot of flags, and we needed a lot of, okay, now do this, now do that, now start the continuous match mode so that we can object, now stop the continuous match mode, now... go to this special thing, and that is where the syntax started becoming more complex, as Morten has said.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just needed extra functionality that the basic yarn editor just didn't know how to handle because it was so very specific.
So you said stop and start voice functionality. That means that there are times in the game where... you can do the objection.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
So this is based on a feature that Google is testing out. It's still in beta, so I am going to be careful about how I talk about it because we don't want to give too many details. It's still in beta. These things might change. We don't want to say something and then...
And you don't want to
mislead
get sued,
people.
So let's...
No, it really, it's just so many of these details might change, so we don't want to like mislead people or make them think or like give them a picture of something that is now, but that later when they come back to it will not be. So what it allows us to do basically is that we go from the turn-taking type conversation that you would have with the Google Assistant, where the assistant asks a question.
And with games in general.
Yeah, and with games in general. With narrative-driven games, particularly, where the assistant asks a question, you reply something, then the assistant replies, and so on. That's the basic turn-taking. We can switch into something that is in beta called continuous match mode, where the assistant can be playing music, or in our case, we could be playing voice lines. And we could just interrupt it, shout objection, and or any of a number of phrases that we had. And we would be able to handle that without explicitly giving the user the now you can speak. So that's what we use, for example, when the witnesses are talking and you go like, that's a lie. You shout objection and then it goes back to the turn-taking so that we can go back to using the natural language understanding. And that's where the game asks you, like, what's wrong with the witness's testimony, Mr. Cooper? Mr. Cooper being our main character. And you get to say, like, oh, well, you weren't at your work at 6 a.m. because your timesheet says that you entered at 8. And you can... construct those responses completely freely. We don't even give you any suggestions. Those are the points where we expect the players to have paid attention and to make up their own explanation. So those are really the freest choice points in the game, where you just decide where you're going to object and then decide how you're going to dunk on the witness.
Yeah. So let's speak some more about the gameplay. We mentioned the characters. Maybe we should. You play the part of Mr. Cooper, an attorney, and along your side you have Perkins, your very astute personal assistant.
Yes.
There is, of course,
partner of the law firm rather than assistant. But yeah, we went back and forth on what they were going to be. So.
Mm. And then you, of course, have a wide array of witnesses and lawyers. And is it the same? Are the more reoccurring characters? Is that douchebag other attorney, the one I just
the prosecutor?
Yeah, that shithead. Is he always your opponent? Because I'd love to trash that guy. Yes. Yeah, yes. Lovely.
That's exactly the point, right? you would want to bring that guy down because he's just unbearable, right?
And Tyson Ford, shout out to your writing there. He really prosecutor. Is a douchebag. Really just fucking hate him.
I'm glad to hear that you hate this guy. And the first case also opens with, you know, it's clear that him and the judge, they are playing golf together, and you know, she likes the judge, she likes him, and she doesn't like you, and so that's one of the guys that you're gonna take him down slowly.
That's something I always admire in writing, is how quickly you can frame a character.
I think it can be pretty hard, but the more you can get into sort of comedy and satire, the easier it is, because the more over the top you can go, right? So I think one of the first things you hear Tyson Ford say is, like, the journalist asks him is this justice? And he says, I don't have time for justice. I have to go to court.
And if
you can do stuff like that, it's like these sort of Simpson-esque, cheapish jokes. It's very easy to frame this guy.
I always think of The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Where the opening scene is him in a supermarket in his,
his bathrobe.
His bathrobe, yeah. Right? In his bathrobe, drinking milk straight out of the fridge.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know about the dude in 5 seconds.
And that is something that is, of course, the best way to do it. That's visually. But rarely we have that luxury in game writing, because we don't usually have the budget or the capacity to do these gigantic, you know. Imagine what it would take, you know, to show this in a game, like animation and pictures and sound design and everything. And usually it's kind of expensive. So we do it another way. Like in this case, we do it with dialogue and some frames, right? And it depends on what game you're making, and it works perfectly, I think, for a game like this. And one of the funny things is that we don't ever hear the main character, Pax Cooper, which is you, basically, as a player. Yeah. We don't hear this guy ever, because that's your voice. So we never get an idea of who he is, only through Perkins.
And that is really like just the dialogue options from the beginning made me feel like that I had to also choose a character for the attorney, which I absolutely loved. You know, both doing like comedy and writing and playing role playing games myself. I love the idea of just setting up the character. And was it the first dialogue option in the game, spoiler alert, where you can, like, did you get any sleep last night, or did you
I think that's right,
why are you late, or something like that. And so I that took me one line to get me from Nils sitting in a strange office with new people trying out a game on a new platform, and that just got me straight into, okay, now I'm Columbo and I've got a hangover. Let's go.
I think Perkins is asking if why, or maybe just stating that you look tired. and it's clear that you've spent, you know, the night at the office, whether you're admitting it or not.
And that's something that Morten and I went back and forth on a fair amount at the beginning of the of the development. Just how much are we going to tell the player about the main character, about Pax Cooper? How are we going to frame him in such a way that the main that the player knows who this main character is? How do we basically get the player situated in the narrative? And we went back and forth on, is he going to have voice lines? Is he not going to have voice lines? Is the player the only thing? Is the player's voice the only thing that is going to represent Pax Cooper? And in the end, we decided to go with what is in the game right now, which is that we kind of frame him and tell the player who this main character is based on what other people say to him and about him. So the first time you see the judge, she tells you, "Well, Mr. Cooper, last I saw you, you were yelling at me to get a pretty face out of a traffic ticket. Are you are we minding our manners today?" And that immediately tells you a lot without having to actually give this main character, who doesn't speak except through the player's voice, any lines. So it was a challenge for sure, but it was mostly Morten's challenge.
But that's the kind of challenges I like, right? And I think the whole thing just really sprung out of this idea of, you know these like kind of shows, these like Days of Our Lives kind of shows, or I think it was called Glamour here in Denmark. Those, you know, never-ending daytime television shows, right? And just imagining, like, what would a court case be like in one of these kind of towns? You know, you would have a lawyer with a name like Pax Cooper, you know, and there would be endless surprise witnesses and people, you know, opening the doors and bringing in, you know, sacks of letters to Santa Claus and all these cliches and things. And that's where the idea came from. And then it moved to something a little less daytime television-ish, but it still takes inspiration from that.
And I guess this is only the beginning. The ingenious part of writing case-based things is, I guess, that you could is this launched? Are we live?
Yes. So we launched. Now. Yeah, we launched about 3 weeks ago, halfway through March, and you can play this just by. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to download an app or anything, which is the beauty and also the confusing thing of launching something for the for the Google Assistant.
So wait. So this is just integrated in the Google Assistant now.
Yeah, you just talk to your Nest Hub or your Nest Hub Max and say, "Hey Google, play Voice Attorney," and it just starts. It doesn't have to download. It doesn't have to. You don't have to buy it. Yo. It's just there.
That's fucking huge, man.
It is really nice. It's also odd for discoverability. and you know, the marketing, usually the call to action is go download this app.
Yeah, or buy now, or
just go
play the thing.
But in this case it's just like we say, "Hey Google, play Voice Attorney" in the trailers. As much as we can to get the players going, "Oh, I need to go do that. That's the thing they want me to do. That's the thing I need to do to play the game."
If Danish listeners wants to try it out, their Nest might have been installed in Danish, because that's what Google does without asking you what language. That if your Google account is in Danish. So you need to go in on your app, Google app on your phone or wherever, and the Google Home app, I think it is, on your phone or whatever device you have it on, and add English to you will not be able to remove Danish, I think, as it is right now, but you can add English as a second language, and then you can say play Voice Attorney. Otherwise, the Nest doesn't really know what you're talking about, because it's listening in Danish.
Well, could that be? So how's the reception been?
The reception has honestly been a little overwhelming. Even according to the data that we get from the analytics, we have, last I checked, about 13,000 unique players.
That's pretty cool.
And this was not something we were expecting. I personally was expecting like a few hundred, and that's it. But 13,000 just from, well, from the fact that because we did this in partnership with Google's assistant program, they have been boosting our, the game a little in the lists and the discoverability, which is, as
that's
I mentioned,
like
discoverability
the best cooperation
for,
partner you could ever have.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, discoverability for something like this, which is just like a smart picture frame that's meant to be as understated and as unobtrusive as possible, without anything that can really be called an app store or anything like that. Mm. It's finding new things is complicated. Yep. So the fact that like 13,000 people have managed to find this and play it, and so far they keep playing. We still get a good like 1,000 conversations every day or something like that. It's
Shit.
It's
well,
really exciting.
Congratulations, guys! That's amazing. And I from the start when I heard about this and when I visited you guys, I've had a thoroughly tip of the iceberg kind of vibe about this whole project. The idea of it feels like we're only scratching the surface, right?
So in terms of,
well, in this, terms of interacting with, like, if this is step one, I can easily imagine a step two where if the Google Assistant is in my house, then you add a motion capture camera, and all of a sudden I'm playing Skyrim in my living room, where I actually have to stand and walk and block and cast magic with my arms or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, on one hand,
and yes, I'll still be playing Skyrim when
there's still there's still the Kinect problem. But the Nest Hub Max already has a camera, so who knows? Someone might be able to do that. Just for fun, I went in and checked the analytics. Turns out, no, we're at 27,000 unique users since we launched, and
so
we're
more,
having about
more than double the number you were excited about.
Wow.
Yeah, we're having like 5,000 conversations every day. So that's
told you, man. Tip of the iceberg.
I'm pretty happy about that.
Tip of the iceberg. I told you.
Yeah, that's yeah. Really cool. I think what I would like, what really got me fired up about this project and got me really passionate about it was that we can stay, that we try to stay within the story world all the time, and that's. You know, regarding the tip of the iceberg, I think, I hope we're going to see a lot more of this because it's quote unquote easier to make a game where you use the Google's voice assistant to speak. So you actually write the words and that some kind of speech synthesis will actually pronounce the words because then it's easy to, you know, put in a different name or switch out parts of the text and so on and stitch it together without a text because you can't hear that. But here we really, really wanted everything spoken by real actors. And we wanted as much as possible, with the few exceptions of you know, Perkins acting as your save and quit menu. But other than that, everything is within the story world. So if voice attorney doesn't understand what you're saying, which will happen from time to time, there is not going to be some kind of Google voice saying, I'm sorry, I did not understand that. There's going to be a judge saying, I have no idea what you're saying. Would you please get yourself together, Mr. Cooper, and try again, or something like that. Or you wrote several of those kind of things for all kind of characters. So we try to stay within the story world. And I think that is really cool and is really important to me.
Massive shout out to the voice actors as well, then, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We had 10 voice actors.
Can we talk a little about the about that whole thing?
Yeah, so that was really exciting. It was, I mean, it was my first time doing voice acting with on a game, and we were, it was so much fun. We went through a company called Character Localization here in Denmark, which does translation and voice acting. And we managed to, and we got 10 voice actors to play the 20 odd characters in the game. And it was, I was there with the voice director and the audio engineer, and it was just, it was great. It was really exciting to get to be part of that and to get to go, oh, well, in this scene, you're doing this. Mm-hmm. So this has just happened. That's what you're reacting to. And just kind of giving them context and finding the voices for the different characters. It was a really nice experience.
How was it for you, Morten, of all those hours spent writing all this stuff to hear your lines come alive? That's always fun.
It's always when you're working with these kind of these actors, these voice actors, who that's all they do. Many of these people is that they spend more half their lives in front of these microphones, and and they really, really make us sound so much better than we are. they really lift like the line up, and you know, some writers will hear the line with, you know, in their heads as you're writing, and I do that too, but I very often get like pleasantly surprised when I hear their delivery. It's very rare that if I'm even present at the recording, which happens, but it's very rare that I interfere.
Do you have a veto? That is not how Victor would say it.
No. I don't have a veto at all. But sometimes it would be, oh, you know, if you put pressure on this word, that's what I intended, and I would only say that if another meaning came out than the one I was supposed to read, right? Yeah. If there's a misunderstanding, and it's always my fault. It's always the writing that's somehow unclear, and sometimes the actor will even say, you know, how about I say this instead? And usually, if that falls more naturally for them, usually it's a better line because it just sounds better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was there, and since I had been also involved in the writing process with Morten, I was kind of his proxy for that. So there was a you're the first, like, your character is the first time that this name is being said, so like make sure to pronounce it really clearly. Or anything like, or let's change this line because I just realized that we need to include a bit of information that you need slightly later. So those kinds of things just happened as we went.
I have no doubts that, of course, that's another, Ernest Hemingway famously said, writing is rewriting. So in my mind, that's just another rewrite, you know, right?
Well, yeah, you do tons of on-the-fly rewriting.
which you should do.
Yeah, but sometimes it's, especially in video games, like, you have to be really careful. Because as I mentioned earlier, you might have a line, and you can get to that line from six different other lines, right? Mm. And so, if the actor is saying, "Oh, I should be angry here," and then he says, "You know, no, thank you," let's say that's the line, and then you figure out that one of the places you can get to this is from, "Would you like some more tea, dear?" it's not going to be a proper reaction. Then it's like, you can't be angry here, because we have to take into account that this can lead to it from other place. So that's why you need someone present who's been in the writing room, so to speak.
That makes a lot of sense. Gentlemen, we have almost been speaking for an hour. As time usually flies in good company. We still got time, no stress. I just wanted to maybe tie a little bow on the conversation. Is there anything we haven't discussed yet that we should mention before we head on out and do our thing?
Well, I mean, first of all, like, massive shout-outs to the rest of the team at Bulwark, who were just the two artists that we had, the one programmer, Mark, who just is still working on certain things and just... and
your programming department.
wrote and rewrote the whole system.
Yeah.
And our sound designer slash composer who... like as soon as we started putting music into the game, it was like, oh, okay, this is real now. And well, of course, to Morten, who was just really fun to work with, and we do have a little bit of work to do ahead of us as well.
Yeah. Well, so what's the future like? Because the idea of I guess you could send out DLCs. Well, it's not even DLCs. Could you just upgrade it, like add more cases?
So, physically, we could. However, all of this project was financed by Google, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They asked us for a pitch. We gave it to them, and they decided to fund it. So it's unlikely that we would be able to keep working on it if we didn't have extra funding, either from them or from another source.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily something we are seeking. If Google realizes, oh, this was golden eggs, and comes back to us and says, we want you to do 4 more cases, then that would be great, because that we only have to do the art and the... and the writing, because we now have the programming in place.
Yeah. That only leaves the rest of it.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's super cool. And again, in conclusion with the... I still have this tip of the iceberg kind of feel to it. That just has made me more curious. I don't own a Google Hub, but who knows what the future will bring. And at some point, I will be playing Skyrim in my living room. I've asked for it for years, and I still... like
playing it now. You're not playing it in your living room now?
Yes, but I'm not using me as the controller. I'm not... I want to be the one shouting Fus Roda.
You are the controller.
Right? And I want to do it with a stupid Norwegian cliche accent or whatever the fuck I could.
Yeah,
it brings a whole new perspective into, you know, late night gaming if you're living in an apartment, like just shouting spells from the top of your lungs. You know.
Yeah,
and I'm playing Elden Ring at the moment. I think my the people who live beneath me would hate the war stomp skill. Bang bang bang. I'm stunning enemy. No.
So, I mean, with the next things we're working on, they might get you a bit closer to that, because Bulwark is mainly a VR game,
mm-hmm.
a VR game studio. I can speak. And we're already collaborating with Morten in another project that we can say really, really, really little about.
Well, when you get to the point that you can say a lot about it,
yes,
I hope you'll hit me up again.
Yeah, but we're already working together on something else. It is super exciting. We're all just bouncing up and down, going. Yes, we want it to be like this and like this. I can say it's a VR game, and it's got a completely different premise. Mm-hmm. But Morten is there helping us figure out the the plot.
Massive shout out to Bo Benikoff and the rest of Bolwerk Games. Check out their check out everything they've done. See if it's something for you. And if you do own a Google Nest thingy hub at home, just walk up to it, switch it to English, and say, "Hey Google, play Voice Attorney."
Exactly.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. It's been an absolute treat, Morten and Jaime.
Thank you,
dear listener. I know it's been a while, but guess who's back? My stand-up show, Dumb Jokes and Dragons, is still on YouTube if you feel like watching that. And you can still support Never AFK. Though, in this day and age, honestly, if you have the money, there are better things to support. I'll manage. But if you insist, you can support us at tia.dk. And the best thing you can do is, of course, to spread the word about your favorite podcast about gaming and join us once again next time, when we once again will be Never AFK. Pow!
Kender du det? Ja. Velkommen i klubben. Det er ikke fedt at få en bakkepul. Men heldigvis har du os. Velkommen hos GF Forsikring. Overskud til hinanden.